The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Some 2,000 years ago, the Stoic philosopher Epictetus advised us to watch over ourselves as we would an enemy waiting in ambush. Something to consider. If we stand idly and apathetically by while the life support systems of our once thriving planet are decimated and our biosphere is systematically poisoned from countless sources, all related to a self-constructed military-industrial complex paradigm, do we not then deserve to reap what we've collectively sown as a species? Will we choose to be a part of the solution or a part of the problem? I'll get to critical late-breaking news after these announcements. This is Dane Wigington with the latest edition of Geoengineering Watch Radio, the Global Alert News Hour for January 7th, 2017. This is the first Global Alert News Hour for 2017, and this year is certainly going to be a ride, believe it or not. It's coming. Many converging issues are coming. This commercial-free one-hour news program is paid for by geoengineeringwatch.org. This show is broadcast on KQMS throughout Northern California on 1670 AM, 99.3 FM, 104.9 FM, and 105.7 FM. The show is also rebroadcast on the East Coast on the PRN Radio Network, 2 p.m. Saturday afternoon Eastern Time. And there's a call-in number for anyone who chooses to use their phone to access this show through podcast. That call-in number is 701-719-0991. You can access any of the last five shows easily via telephone through that number. For those in Redding and Shasta County, I want to also remind you that if you want to know what's happening with the vaccination issue, extremely dire issue, which we have not been told the truth, you can get a free commercial DVD at Orchard Nutrition. Please share it, copy it, circulate it, educate your friends on what they're not being told. That's called Silent Epidemic, the untold vaccination story. Also, you can get data on 9/11. 2,700 architects and engineers, 2,700 of the world's top experts have unimaginably compelling information to share that proves the official story is absolutely false. You can access that data at Orchard Nutrition for free, and there are free commercial climate engineering DVDs, and you can see testimony from government scientists, former government scientists, Union of Concerned Scientists, former pilots. You can see a mountain of data on a commercial DVD with many menued items for you to view to educate you on what's going on in your skies that you're also not being told about. On that note, a legal update for the geoengineeringwatch.org Legal Alliance to Stop Geoengineering legal team, still working on the complaint to be filed in the U.S. The 60-day notice has already been filed. That notice was a minimum, not a deadline. It is very complex to file in the U.S. as opposed to a Canadian suit that's already been filed last year, because the U.S. system has been very strategically set up to try to block efforts to expose the contamination raining down through our air column through climate engineering. In fact, the regulations for quote-unquote safe limits on countless toxins are so unimaginably high, which is designed to make it appear that there's nothing wrong, when, in fact, that couldn't be further from the truth. And I'll have another story on that note later in this broadcast about recent legislation the EPA has tried to sneak through to raise the quote-unquote safe level of radiation in our drinking water by thousands of times. Much more on that story coming. But here's a thought for the day to consider from author Terry Eagleton before I get to the news. Quote, "If you do not resist the apparently inevitable, you will never know how inevitable the inevitable was." Think about that. "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men and women to do nothing." Edmund Burke, another quote. How does the power structure and the corporate media they control effectively silence the population from speaking out about clear and evident truths? by instilling a fear of ridicule, by conditioning the masses to fully understand that if they dare to question the official state-sponsored narrative on countless issues, they'll be mocked by their family and friends. And sadly, we live in a society in which the majority care less about facing the truth than they do about being mocked by others who also lack the courage to face the truth. So the masses continue to march toward total planetary omnicide. That is the path we're on. In the geologic blink of an eye, the human race has cumulatively turned the planet into a toxic, radioactive waste dump. Is it any wonder our species is in deep and dire trouble? Now, many wouldn't know this because the stock market is hitting new highs. And that seems to be the only thing that matters to many people. They don't care if the oceans are dying, the forests are dying, the climate system is being disintegrated from countless sources, including the climate engineering atrocities, which I'll get to in a moment. They care only about the stock market. But what headlines are we not being told as the artificially inflated card house of the stock market continues to be pumped up in order to pacify populations? What headlines are we not being told? Global debt hits 325% of world GDP. Debt rises to a record $217 trillion. And the only reason the debt's not even higher, we have the derivatives trading market, which is perhaps as much as a quadrillion. We can't even think in numbers this huge. And the derivatives market is nothing. There's no resource there. It's simply smoke and mirrors. And this is what our perceived wealth is based on. The only wealth are real, tangible, natural resources. Printed money is not wealth. We'll find out how true that is very soon. Another headline. Keep this in mind while we have the record high stock market numbers. Doesn't seem to match with the headlines we're not being told about, does it? How's one to further this theme? Quote, Macy's posts disappointing holiday sales likely to cut 10,000 workers and move forward with store closures. Another headline. Quote, another 150 Sears and Kmart stores to close by April. That doesn't seem like a booming economy, does it? Another headline, Boeing and Airbus brace for slowdown. More signs that the inflated stock market is nothing more than a card house, an artificially inflated facade. Another headline, shipbuilders continue to struggle amid downturn all over the globe. Container ships are being scrapped, torn apart, or idled, anchored and doing nothing. Another headline, don't worry, while the global economy slows down, the military economy is certainly still going, isn't it? Because that's what it's all about for those in power. Another headline, Pentagon approves potential $1.26 billion submarine project. That's just what we need. More weapons of mass destruction that can be sailed around in our now dead global oceans. A quick weather and climate modification update, because you can't really talk about the climate without discussing climate modification, can you? Not legitimately. And yet we have meteorologists all over the globe who know it's a bad career decision for them to speak about the elephant in the room that we can all see, that, as I mentioned earlier in this show, so many people are refusing to even mention or acknowledge because they could get ridiculed. So let's all just go down with the sinking ship. Why do we have snow levels, for example, in Northern California, as warm water spews in from the Pacific? Why do snow levels start at 5,000 feet and then skyrocket to 7,000 feet with temperatures that are nearly the same? Why does that happen? How can you have warm water coming in off the Pacific that relatively warm, considering the time of year we're in? How does it magically turn to snow, and at many times snow begins falling at temperatures far above freezing, and nobody seems to care anymore because it's being chemically ice nucleated? The patents exist, the processes exist. As I said, show after show after show, other governments around the world, like China, has admitted they're in this process. Why would people think our government's not doing the same? So we have snow levels in Northern California going from 5,000 feet and then up to 7,000 feet as the ice nucleation process can't keep up with the amount of moisture flowing in, apparently. Now, we have the engineered U.S. cool down that happened at the end of 2016 and stretching into the beginning of 2017. Why was there such a concerted effort to try to mask the true state of the climate, especially in the U.S., because it creates the division and confusion to keep the population bewildered as to what the true state of the climate is, even though we had the warmest fall ever recorded in the U.S., 2015, the warmest year ever recorded in the U.S. until this year. I'll get to that headline in a moment. 2015 broke 2014 as the warmest year in the U.S. We've had about 382 consecutive months of above normal temperatures in the world. But we had this massive cool down happening in the U.S. that temperatures in the U.S. some 50 degrees colder than the North Pole. Does that seem normal to anyone? It's not normal, and of course our media doesn't talk about it. So the Dakota protesters continue to suffer under record cold still, while we have record warm in other areas. And here's the official headline. 2016, hottest year ever around the globe, state climate agencies. Brand new headline. Now, consider this, another headline to go with this. Brand new. Global warming hiatus never happened. New study confirms. No, it never happened. More media hype, more geoengineered events that temporarily alter the data sets when you can lower temperatures on the ground with a chemically ice-nucleated layer of air that sits on the ground, lowers temperatures down, creates a lot of headlines, chemically nucleated snows. The media can hype up some record snows here and there while we have record lack of snow in other areas, record lack of ice in most places all over the globe. The American population can grab onto the ones that don't want to believe there's anything wrong with the climate anyway, the ones that want to believe that you can continue to loot, pillage, plunder the planet. Other countries around the globe, 156 of them that have U.S. troops in them in order to help acquire these resources, that you can continue behaving like this without consequence. And that is radical, radical denial. The climate engineering issue, again, a massive part of this equation. And what we see, where we monitor, geoengineeringwatch.org, the official high temperatures, we see not an over-reporting of those temperatures, but an under-reporting. What does that mean? Means that even though we have the headline of the hottest year ever recorded, the actual temperatures globally are warmer still. And the only place that they're lower is when we see massive manipulation of climate systems from the massive covert global climate engineering programs. Let's get on to weather warfare. In the Philippines, I've gone over what's happened in the Philippines in previous years before. In 2014, we saw Philippines slaughtered with a record hurricane that very anomalously strengthened as it made landfall, the opposite of what we would expect. U.S. military moved in under humanitarian pretext and started setting up bases. Now, the leader of the Philippines, Duterte, who I've commented about before, he's had enough of the U.S. In fact, here's a recent headline. Philippine leader Duterte now wants U.S. troops out in the next 2 years, from the Washington Post. Now, is it a coincidence that since this headline, which was in October, late October, the Philippines has been hit again and again with late season hurricanes and has just been hit with a December 25th extremely late season hurricane that continued to slaughter their country? Is that a coincidence that other parts of the world, especially those countries that are opposed to U.S. quote interests, which we know U.S. interest means anything that the U.S. feels would help expand the empire, that those countries are slaughtered with weather while we have a record hurricane drought in the U.S. because the U.S. can suppress those hurricanes, and they are trying desperately to keep flooding along the East Coast from happening any worse than it already is in places like Miami, where they're pumping out every high tide. And they are hiding that from the U.S. public as long as they can while they're using weather warfare around the globe. Where else is our country unfortunately helping to fuel global unrest? Here's a headline. India and U.S. hold joint military exercises near Chinese border. I want to state again, how would the U.S. population feel if China was holding military exercises in Tijuana? How would we feel? I don't think anybody would sit for that, would they? But yet, other countries are expected to tolerate this, like China. Another headline, U.S.-NATO joint military operations on Russia border in Baltic states. Part of my family is from Lithuania. That's adjacent to the Russian border. And this military buildup is happening there. Of course, we're concerned. Yet another example of the U.S. military-industrial complex that's completely out of control. Not saying other countries would not be out of control to the same degree if they had the same military power. They would be. No one is being honorable in this equation overall. But right now, by far, the U.S. military is bigger than the next 10 militaries combined. It's the juggernaut that's completely out of control and that risks total global annihilation through a third world war. Another headline. The U.S. has begun amassing troops on Russian border. U.S. special forces in Baltics to help NATO allies counter Russia. Counter Russia doing what? Who destabilized Ukraine? Was that Russia? No. In fact, we have film footage of John McCain landing there in his private jet and helping to pay activists, radicals, I should say, that were being trucked in from the outskirts to help destroy Kiev. I've been to Kiev. It's a beautiful city, and now in ruins as much of Ukraine is because the U.S. destabilized that country just like they destabilized Libya, Egypt, Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq. The list goes on, as I referred to in show after show, the grand chessboard, Brzezinski, Kiev and Ukraine, part of that. And yet we're told that our forces are there to counter Russia's aggression. Not true. Another headline. U.S. to speed up deployment of troops to Poland and Romania. Yet another example of completely out of control empire. And all the while this is going on, what did I recently see on CNN? And I watch all the news programs while I work researching at my workstation. I have media going in the background constantly on various stations to see what the population is being fed. What did CNN have on? Well, the planet's imploding. Well, we have an out of control military-industrial complex. They showed again Jean-Benet Ramsey, a 20-year-old story, and they showed again O.J. Simpson, and they devoted a tremendous amount of time to Jean-Benet Ramsey, by the way. And CNN's Sanjay Gupta recently did a show in which he did his best to paint nature as the enemy of man. What a completely backwards scenario that would be, isn't it? From Sanjay Gupta. He referred to the dangerous diseases that keep appearing on the horizon. But are we to believe that all the biological threats which keep conveniently coming up are simply the result of nature? And back to the public's willful blindness, when we know that our own government has been aggressively experimenting with biological elements for decades and biological warfare, when we know from historical records that our own government has routinely carried out biological testing, not only on perceived enemies, but also against our own citizens, when we know that not only is our government engineering biological elements, but it is also engineering genetically modified mosquitoes, for example, to carry these elements or to try to deal with these elements, what does it take to wake the masses? It's so much is being orchestrated right now under the guise of the public good, when that could not be further from the truth. How many times have I stated on this show that government agencies like the EPA and the CDC are actually tasked with hiding threats from the population, not disclosing them? And on that note, later in this broadcast, I'll cover this story. The EPA is trying to, as I stated earlier, hide their attempt to raise the so-called safe level of radiation in drinking water by thousands of times. And remember, to start with, there's no, quote, safe level of radiation. And now the EPA is going to try and raise that so-called safe level again by thousands of times. Now, this follow-up story to drive home the point that our so-called media sources are lying to us across the board. And as far as the reporters, weathermen, media people, all those involved in propagating the official lies at the public's expense, let us hope that the day soon comes when the public fully awakens and holds every single one of you responsible in Nuremberg-type trials for your part in pushing the human race and the military-industrial complex who funds you, for your part in pushing the human race toward certain global omnicide, because that's what you're doing. Any media person, any reporter, any weatherman who is lying for a paycheck and a pension, you are part of the crime. And I hope that the day soon comes when the public awakens and realizes the part you've played in what's happened, and that the public holds you legally and morally responsible. I hope that day comes soon. Back to the recent false stories trying to fuel global unrest, the fake stories. Here's the headline. Washington Post is richly rewarded for false news about Russia threat while public is deceived. That's the headline. Washington Post richly rewarded for false news about Russia threat while public is deceived. From that report, in the past 6 weeks, the Washington Post published two blockbuster stories about the Russian threat that went viral. One on how Russia is behind the massive explosion of, quote, fake news. I guess I'm connected with Russia, too, somehow, because geoengineeringwatch.org was on that fake news list. The other on how it invaded the U.S. electric grid, talking about Russia again. Both articles were fundamentally false. Each now bears the humiliating editor's note, grudgingly acknowledging, from the Washington Post, acknowledging that the core claims of the stories were fiction. The first note was posted a full 2 weeks later to the top of the original article. The other was buried the following day at the bottom. Continuing from this report, the second story on the electric grid turned out to be far worse than initially realized. When it became clear that there was no penetration of the U.S. electric grid, as the Washington Post had claimed, penetration by Russian hackers, in addition to the editor's note on the Russia hacked our electric grid story, now has a full-scale retraction in the form of a separate article admitting that the incident is not linked to any Russian government effort to target or hack the utility, and there may not even be malware at all on this laptop. All fabricated. But the damage is done, and that's what the Washington Post, the power structure media, that's what they wanted. The public believes the first lie they hear, and the fact that they very stealthily retracted these stories later is now irrelevant. Our power structure is fueling the flames of global conflict, as they've done again and again and again and again with false stories. Gulf of Tonkin, false flag, historically proven, 60,000 of our sons and daughters died. Saddam Hussein's WMD, false story. How many have died from that? Innocent civilians, not just U.S. military personnel, but innocent civilians in other countries. And the consequences are only beginning to manifest from what our country has done. 9/11, absolute false flag event to act as the license for these invasions of military occupation. How many false stories will the American public believe? Continuing from this story on the most recent false stories from U.S. media. But while these debacles are embarrassing for the paper, the Washington Post, they are also richly rewarding. That's because journalists, including those at the Post, aggressively hype and promote the original sensationalistic false stories, ensuring that they go viral, generating massive traffic for the Post. The paper's editor, Marty Baron, recently boasted, quote, about how profitable the paper has become. That's what it's about. It's not about truth, virtue, honor, reporting what the public needs to know. It's about profit and pushing the agenda of the power structure. Final paragraphs from this report. After spreading the falsehoods far and wide, raising fear levels, and manipulating U.S. political discourse in the process, both Russia stories were, quote, widely hyped on cable news, by the way. Journalists who spread the false claims subsequently note the retraction or corrections only in the most muted way possible, and often not at all. As a result, only a tiny fraction of people who were exposed to the original false story end up learning of the retractions. Baron, the editor of the Wall Street Journal, himself, editorial leader of the Post, again, is a perfect case study in this irresponsible tactic. It was Baron who went to Twitter on the evening of November 24th to announce the Post's expose of the enormous reach of Russia's, quote, fake news operation. Again, apparently geoengineeringwatch.org is a part of that, because we were on the list of fake news sites. Based on what he heralded as the findings of, quote, independent researchers, Baron's tweet went all over the world. To date, it has been retweeted more than 3,000 times, including by many journalists with their own large followings. Lies, lies, and more lies. When will the American public wake up as our power structure pushes us toward World War III? With an endless stream of propaganda and lies. Every government of every country, from the U.S. to Iran, is actively force-feeding their populations an endless list of lies and propaganda. It's not just the U.S., of course not. But it's bigger here. It's more sophisticated here, and the American public is less willing to wake up than any population in any country, it seems. Such is the nature of the beast when you have this much power consolidated in one place. If you believe otherwise, you're not awake yet. And the Orwellian doublespeak by our own government and military is highlighted by the Camp Justice in Guantanamo, the gulag, which had to be set up in another country to avoid the rule of law that does not allow torture and the indefinite detention of individuals that are any individuals that our government chooses to lock up without ever even filing charges, let alone holding a trial. Yes, this is truly Camp Justice, isn't it? How hypocritical can that scenario be? And this is the type of, quote, freedom and democracy our nation now stands for? Is that the case? Is this what we stand for? That we can condone torture and the indefinite detention of people and now our own citizens can be put in that same category? And yet the population continues to remain apathetic so long as they can buy a new vehicle with nothing down, no interest, and no payments. Everything's fine. The stock market numbers are up. They can use their house for an ATM. It won't continue. However permanent the party feels to people at this point, rest assured, it's not. And when the party stops, when the current paradigm collapses, it will come like a tornado in the night. When the power structure plays their final cards, it will come with blinding speed. Do what you can while you can. Again, I want to restate this. While the power structure-controlled corporate media is spewing out complete fabricated so-called news stories, what aren't they telling us about? Recent reports from Japan indicate that an earthquake last week near Fukushima was actually much stronger than what has yet been officially announced. And if this is true, what additional damage has occurred at the Fukushima facility that we're not being told about? And a reminder of my report last week on the damage done to the Fukushima safety measures from the U.S.-Israeli-designed Stuxnet virus. A reminder, while the U.S. power structure is pushing us toward World War III with false stories of Russian hacking of Hillary Clinton's emails and thus her crimes, which should have been exposed anyway, whoever did it, but while they're pushing us to World War III with that, the cataclysmic, in fact, omnicidal damage done to a nuclear facility by a computer virus built by the U.S. and Israel continues. This catastrophe continues to unfold right now. Right now, in this earthquake last week, if it was indeed stronger than what was reported, and if damage has indeed been done that we're not being told about, and why would that surprise us? Weren't we told when we watched these films of Fukushima blowing up right after the 2011 quake, we were told, don't worry, everything's fine, everything's okay, go back to sleep. And yet we now know that officials knew, our government knew, our media knew the whole time that there was a triple meltdown at that facility. Still going on today. No technology to fix it. And now we may have a worse situation because we have fuel pools, spent fuel pools that may have collapsed. And is that connected to what I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, the attempt by EPA now to radically raise the quote-unquote safe limit of radiation in drinking water? Is this all connected? Why would we think otherwise? So if the radiation levels drifting over the U.S. were in fact climbing radically, as they appear they may be, would our government try to take radical steps to hide this unfolding cataclysm? Why would we think otherwise? With everything, our government does exactly this. Hide it. Alter the truth. Recreate the truth. Change the, quote, safe limits. There's no safe limit, again, of radiation in drinking water. There's no safe limit of aluminum. But yet, as I mentioned with our legal action earlier, we have unimaginably high now, quote, safe limits of aluminum in environmental conditions that are simply designed to hide the problem because it's so-called safe, because our official agencies say so. So again, just like they did after, right after the initial Fukushima meltdown, which occurred, as I stated, due to the safety facilities at the Fukushima plant being rendered dysfunctional because of the Stuxnet virus, right after that, our government shut down nuclear monitoring stations on the West Coast. Why? And right after that, the quote-unquote safe levels of radiation were raised 10,000%. Why? Because our government's job, the agencies they control, their job, is to hide the problem from the public as long as possible. So let's get right to the core of this type of effort of masking, hiding the truth, with a specific example that's happening now. Here's the headline. Radical drinking water radiation rise confirmed in EPA plan. Subheadline. EPA hid planned exposure levels thousands of times Safe Drinking Water Act limits. From this report, in the last days of the Obama administration, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is about to dramatically increase allowable public exposure to radioactivity levels thousands of times above the maximum limits of the Safe Drinking Water Act. According to documents the agency surrendered in a federal lawsuit brought by the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, PEER. I want to stress this. This report is not from some fringe group. This is right from a very, very reputable source. Continuing, these radical rollbacks cover the, quote, intermediate period following a radiation release and could last for up to several years. This plan is in its final stage of approval. Think about that. With no public oversight, no public input, simply altering the, quote, unquote, safe level to radically unsafe levels. And the public is completely oblivious to this, if not for PEER's lawsuit helping to expose this. And back to the fluoride I covered in previous shows, the aluminum in our drinking water, the aluminum in our air column, the aluminum in every breath we take from the climate engineering programs. All of this is the same sort of behavior from the quote-unquote official agencies whose job it is to hide the threat, not to expose it. Continuing from this peer report, the documents indicate that the plan's rationale is rooted in public relations, not public health. Following Japan's Fukushima meltdown in 2011, EPA claims that no radioactivity could reach the U.S. at levels of concern were contradicted by its own rainwater measurements showing contamination from Fukushima throughout the U.S., well above Safe Drinking Water Act limits. In reaction, EPA prepared new limits, thousands of times higher than even the Fukushima rainwater, because EPA, quote, experienced major difficulties conveying to the public that the detected levels were not of immediate concern for public health. What does that mean? Not of immediate concern. You won't die tomorrow? It'll be down the road a bit? More Orwellian doublespeak. We're living in an insane asylum with a cancer that's running governments, most especially our government, all governments, but our government is further off the rails because it's larger and more powerful. And we will all pay the price soon if we don't wake up. Continuing from the report, when EPA published for public comment the proposed, quote, protective action guides. How is that protecting? To raising the safe level so that the public thinks what is unimaginably unsafe is safe? That's protective action guides? Continuing, it hid proposed new concentrations for all but four of the 110 radionuclides covered. Hid. Hear that in the report. Continuing from the report, the EPA refused to reveal how much they were above the levels were above the Safe Drinking Water Act limits. It took a lawsuit to get EPA to release documents showing that, one, the proposed limits for two radionuclides, cobalt-60 and calcium-45, are more than 10,000 times Safe Drinking Water Act limits. 10,000 times. That's 1,000,000% higher. This is unimaginable. Report continues, others are hundreds or thousands of times higher. According to EPA's own internal analysis, some concentrations are high enough to deliver a lifetime permissible dose of these contaminants in a single day. And they're going to call this safe now. And they state, as I said earlier in this report, there are no immediate dangers. That just, does that mean you don't die again on that particular day? But they're going to call something safe that gives a lifetime limit dose of something that's clearly harmful in a single day, and they're calling that safe? The levels proposed by the Obama EPA are higher than what the Bush EPA tried to adopt also in its final days. That plan was ultimately withdrawn. The EPA hid the proposed increases from the public so as to, quote, avoid confusion, as stated earlier, intending to release the higher concentrations only after the proposal was adopted, sliding it behind the curtain without anybody seeing, if you will. Continuing, the documents also reveal that the EPA's radiation division even hid the new concentrations from other divisions of EPA that were critical of the proposal, requiring repeated efforts to get them to even be discussed internally. We have people within these agencies all behaving like individual cells in a cancer that's completely out of control, all concerned about their individual paychecks and pensions, as I mentioned earlier in the show, while the ship goes down. This pattern of human behavior must be changed, or we have no chance at any future. That's a mathematical certainty. Final paragraphs from this report. To cover its embarrassment, and after being caught blatantly lying about Fukushima fallout on American soil, EPA is pursuing a justification for assuming a radioactive fetal position, if you will, even in cases of ultra-high contamination, stated peer executive director Jeff Rusch. Also, it was peer that reported, to remind the listeners, on the federal gag order on all National Weather Service and all NOAA employees. This relates to climate engineering and the decimation it's causing. Federal gag order. Our government is totally and completely out of control. Our government's agencies, totally and completely out of control. Our media, totally and completely out of control. That's the situation we're in now. Again, on the quote from Jeff Rusch, noting that New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has called for the PAGs, the new levels, to be withdrawn on both public health and legal grounds. Quote, the Safe Drinking Water Act is a federal law. It cannot be nullified or neutered by regulatory guidance. That's a quote from Schneiderman. Final paragraph of this report. Despite claims of transparency, EPA solicited public comment on its plan even as it hid the bulk of the plan's effects. Nonetheless, more than 60,000 people filed comments in opposition. Final paragraph from this report. A quote, the Dr. Strangelove wing of the EPA does not want this information shared with many of its own experts, let alone the public, added Rusch. This is Rusch's from Peer, who filed the lawsuit, noting that Peer had to file a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit to force release of exposure limits. This is a matter of public health that should not be hidden in broad daylight rather than slimed through in the witching hours of a departing administration. Let's consider also vaccinations, Centers for Disease Control. We have about a dozen scientists now from that agency trying to share data proving that the CDC is systematically hiding the absolutely inarguable lethal dangers from vaccinations, and they are not being allowed to testify before Congress. This is not a state that's free and democratic. This is a police state, and more so by the day. If that's the state you want, continue to be apathetic, continue to do nothing, continue to sit on the bench, continue to be silent. As the quote I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is good men and good women to say nothing, in the words of Edmund Burke. And as the Hopi elder said, as I've repeated before, but it needs to be heard again, we're the ones we've been waiting for. We, each of us, all of us, cumulatively, are needed to turn this tide. And everyone participating in this insanity, including these public health experts and all the other people I mentioned earlier, government officials, media people, weathermen, all of the individuals participating in this type, these types of crimes, we can only hope that an awakened public will hold you legally and morally accountable soon as we continue to raise awareness and sound the alarm. And as far as our government's attempt to hide the truth, again, we saw the headline last week, House Republicans gut their own oversight. What a surprise. And it's not just the Republicans. The Democrats are no different. Here we have a quote from Nancy Pelosi, who said, evidently ethics are the first casualty of the new Republican Congress. Nancy Pelosi saying this, as if she has any grounds to say anything, her or any of her other Democratic colleagues. Two sides of the same coin, each pointing the finger at each other, keeping the facade going with the American public. It's us or them. Same sort of dichotomous mentality that's been programmed into our society, the black and white mentality, when it's all theater. The whole government system we have right now is all theater to distract the population. From this report, in one of their first moves of the new Congress, House Republicans have voted to gut their own independent, and then this has been overturned now, but it shows the mentality that I've tried to outline earlier with trying to hide the truth or escape the consequences of their actions. To gut their own independent ethics watchdog, a huge blow to cheerleaders of congressional oversight, and one that dismantles major reforms adopted after Jack Abramoff's scandal. This is important to see this type of behavior. This is the government we have. Everybody that has anything to do with Government, elected officials, government agencies seems to be doing their best to hide anything and everything they possibly can from the public for as long as possible. This includes our local congressman, Doug LaMalfa, as I've stated in previous shows. He, his representatives, ignoring inquiries from countless citizens. I know many of these citizens who have tried to pass on data, their own testing, their own precipitation testing. We have EPA tests given to Mr. LaMalfa and his staff. They ignored that as well. They didn't recognize California EPA testing as being, quote, credible. Their job, like the CDC's job, like the EPA's job, is to hide the problems, the disasters, the threats from the public. That's their job. Other arenas are waking up, for example, to the climate engineering effect on our skies. And all of this goes together. We have to remember that. All of these separate crimes are all interlinked. They're all part of the same cancer that's pushing us all over the cliff. We now seem to have the astronomers waking up to the fact that climate engineering is a disaster for their ability to view our skies. Here's a headline from this week. I covered this on a post, but the live on-air listeners would not have heard this. Geoengineering could be a disaster for astronomy, and it's not could be, it long since has been. But from this report, geoengineering is one of those things that sounds like maybe a good idea on paper, but it could also go horribly apocalyptically wrong. How could it be a good idea even on paper to spray tens of millions of tons of toxic elements into the sky, which not only derails Earth's life support systems, but what goes up must come down, and we're all breathing it. So we have the whole science community all over the globe discussing geoengineering and what we should use to spray in our skies to block some of the sun. And indeed, how much sun do we really see? How much blue sky do we see? I hear from people all over the globe every single day that are panicked because their skies are being blotted out with sprayed aircraft particulate trails day in, day out. This is the hallmark of climate engineering, and this is everything we've already discussed on an even bigger scale. All these threats that official agencies are trying to hide, and none bigger, none more obvious, none more deadly overall right now than geoengineering. And as I've stated in so many articles, shows, disseminations, the single greatest and most immediate threat we face, short of nuclear cataclysm, which we now have as well, is climate engineering. Because the list of horrific effects it causes to the planet's life support systems and the entire web of life is unimaginably long. I couldn't begin to go into them right now. But here we have the astronomers now discussing the fact that it's blocking their skies. And this is a very small aspect of what climate engineering is doing. We have much more lethal elements, and that's the fact that it taints and renders toxic every breath we take. Here's another headline. Again, more signs of media and the climate science community deceptively trying to convince the population that it's not already going on. People that are really a part of the crime when they participate in this deception. Here's the headline. How much would it cost to geoengineer thicker ice in the Arctic? Pretending it's not going on, and pretending chemical ice nucleation is not already going on in the Arctic, because it is. We have NASA satellite photos of it going on. We have examples of it going on in lower latitudes where we have, as I've stated many times, 75-pound perfectly spherical ice balls floating up on the shores of Lake Michigan. I challenge anyone who hasn't seen this phenomenon, look it up. Look up Lake Michigan ice balls. You'll see official media coverage of this and official sources pretending it's all normal, just like they pretend 10,000 times safe limit of radiation, which is not a safe limit to begin with, is normal. Just like they do hiding everything else, they pretend that 75-pound ice balls in 40-degree lake water is normal. And these ice balls are floating up on oceans, the Baltic Sea, other coasts, because this chemically nucleating material creates a core, and the ice builds up around that, so you end up with ice where you shouldn't have ice. And for those that think this is impossible, you simply haven't done any research. You haven't seen the lab tests we have in geoengineering. Watch articles showing you what happens when you put a few drops of a biological or chemical nucleating agent into a vessel of water. It freezes it instantly at room temperature. So consider that you have not done your research. It's not normal for it to snow at 40 and 50 degrees. It's not normal for warm water to spew in off the Pacific and suddenly turn to snow with snow levels fluctuating from 5,000 feet to 7,000 feet in the course of a day with temperatures that are similar. None of this is normal. the radical weather whiplash we're experiencing all over the globe is not normal. It's not normal to be 50 degrees colder in the lower 48 than it is in the North Pole. That's not normal. It's not normal to have an autism rate that goes up 40,000% in 4+ decades. That's not normal. Consider waking up. Those of you who listen and who are not participating in helping to expose this truth, then you're a part of the problem, not the solution. Another headline, 18 signs that show we've reached the tipping point with Earth's climate system. Now, we haven't reached the tipping point. We've exceeded the tipping point. We're through the guardrail. And I don't care that, I don't care who doesn't believe that, and I don't care who it alienates, and I don't care who it makes me unpopular with to try to state this truth. This is the fact of the matter, and all those who refuse to believe this, who want desperately to cling to their ideology that there's nothing wrong with the climate, there's nothing wrong with the oceans, there's nothing wrong with the forest, there's nothing wrong with the environment, everything can keep going on like it is. You're living in a total delusion, and you'll soon find out the degree to which you've built that delusion. It's going to shatter soon. Another headline. Climate bugs butcher American forests. Now, here we have some deception as well. And this is important because no boreal forest, no trees, no people. Dead ocean, no people. No ozone layer, and geoengineering is destroying the ozone layer. No people, no life on Earth. These are very simple things, but we have official agencies. And I know many of these people. I know the state's head entomologist. And I've worked with USDA scientists, Cal Fire scientists in the field. I've done multiple habitat restoration programs involving federal agencies. I've been directly involved with those on my own land. I know these people, and I know they're afraid to speak out. So they simply refer back to the bugs. The bugs are destroying everything. Why are the bugs destroying the trees? The bugs are a symptom. They're not the core cause. Not at all. When you have toxic rain coming down with known effects on root systems, in the case of aluminum especially, we have peer-reviewed study on that. When you have unimaginably high UV cooking the trees, and we know that's happening. We're working directly with, as I've stated before, a 40-year NASA aeronautics engineer, 40-year veteran, who has metering equipment that we have supplied him, and he is confirming our earlier measurements on geoengineeringwatch.org with our own meters that the UV is completely off the scale, and we're being lied to about that issue to an unimaginable degree. We're seeing not only about 1,000%, these percentiles we're talking about, whether it's radiation or autism increase or 1,000 other things, these are massive percentiles. They're not a little bit bad. They're unimaginably bad. We're seeing UVC 1,000% higher than we're being told, 1,000%. And now we're seeing UVC, significant levels of UVC on the surface. And this is a very lethal band of UV radiation. We're told by official agencies, because they lie, because their job is to hide reality, to hide the threat. We're being told UVC stops 1,000 feet up in the atmosphere. But no, we're seeing it on the surface in significant percentage points. I'll do a full report on this soon as we acquire more data. UVC is the last band of UV radiation before X-ray. And this former NASA employee mathematically feels if things don't escalate at an even faster rate, that we won't be around much longer from just the UV issue, not counting the dying oceans, not counting all the other converging catastrophes, just the UV damage alone, if climate engineering continues, will be an end for our species, certainly. It will destroy habitat to the degree that there won't be terrestrial life. No ozone layer, no life. That's very simple. And climate engineering is destroying this. And for anybody that's listening, as I always state, do not believe me. Don't believe me. Simply search geoengineering will destroy the ozone layer, and you'll find information from sources all over the globe that state clearly this will be a consequence of geoengineering. It will destroy the ozone layer. Don't believe me. From this report on the dead forest, scientists say that they, the beetles, are already driving some tree species toward extinction and are causing billions of dollars a year in damage. We just had a local radio station in Northern California, I think it's KCNR, who, with their hosts laughing as if it's funny that there could be any tree damage, as if there's not. Let's all just ignore it. Let's all just be apathetic and ignore the problems and perpetuate the problem. And one of these hosts is Doug LaMalfa's aide, by the way, as I mentioned earlier. And her job is to make the public think nothing's wrong. Keep the public asleep. Lie if you have to. Apparently that's the job description. So they made fun of the fact that trees are dying all over the world, but we won't be laughing for long about that, will we? Continuing from this report, beetles are one of the few things that can actually eliminate forests completely in short order within years, said Harvard University ecologist David Orwig as he walked past dead hemlocks scattered across the university's 5.8 square mile research forest in Petersham. This scourge is projected to put 63% of the country's forest at risk in the next decade and carries a cost of many billions of dollars annually in tree removal, declining property values, and the timber industry losses. But do we even in any of that conversation consider the fact that, no trees, the second largest source of oxygen on the planet next to plankton, atmospheric oxygen plummets, and guess what? It's plummeting. Because we know plankton stocks are down about 60%. We know we've lost 55% of Earth's tree cover since the dawn of civilization. We are free-falling. We are in the sixth great mass extinction. And our timeline is unimaginably short if we continue in this path. Final statement from this report. The examination by more than a dozen experts found that hundreds of pests have invaded the nation's forests and that the emerald ash borer alone has the potential to cause $1.27 billion in damage by 2020. Everything's measured in dollars, isn't it? As if somehow if you just had that much money, there would be no damage or there wouldn't be a problem. It's not about the money. It's not about the numbers of the money. It's about an ecosystem that supports life. The beetles are a symptom of forests that have been poisoned, fried with intense UV, had their hydrological cycle cut off, are burning to the ground because we have incendiary materials falling on those dying forests. This is the aluminum, barium, strontium, climate engineering materials, incendiaries covering the foliage, making the fires far worse than they've been historically. And yet everything is blamed on the beetles. It's not the toxic rain or the disrupted rain cycles or the blocking of sunshine. We're talking about solar radiation management programs that block sunshine. Every aspect of climate engineering is further fueling the complete implosion of our biosphere. So with all these other issues, all of which are important, the attempt by the power structure to hide Fukushima radiation, the vaccination assault, the lying of the media, the pushing toward World War III, all of these things are incredibly important. They're all interlinked. But what could be more important than every breath we take from programs that are not only toxifying our breathable air column, but destroying the biosphere, which produces the oxygen on which we depend, produces the resources on which we depend, from fish in the ocean. And they're geoengineering the ocean, by the way, as well. For those that don't remember, I've covered this in past shows. They're scattering materials on the surface of the ocean. This is part of solar radiation management. These materials fall to the surface of the ocean, create toxic algae blooms to try to soak up some of the CO2 to hide that problem, but that kills that section of the ocean by creating an oxygenless zone. So we have fish kills all over the planet as well. There's so much more news I could report in this episode, and there's just simply not enough time. I cover as much as I can of the most critical elements to try to expose to people the fact that we're on the fast track toward near-term, not just human extinction, but perhaps global extinction. And I challenge those who reject such a notion, who buy into the official delusions being fed to them by official agencies and corporate media sources, I challenge you to show some courage and actually investigate what I'm saying. Investigate that we are in the sixth great mass extinction now. Investigate everything I report on this show. And as far as the elections go and where we're headed, and Mr. Trump and his part in this play, how can we know whether or not this whole drama, this whole appearance of a power structure that's divided and fracturing, how can we yet truly know if any of this apparent division is real or if it's simply a continued part of the elaborate drama that the power structure uses to confuse and divide the American population? How many people thought there was going to be some change for the better with Barack Obama, which could not have been further from the truth? I'll end with this, on this broadcast, the following thought to consider. All of us need to take a long look in the mirror and ask ourselves if we're truly a part of the solution, or if we're still in many ways contributing to the cancer that's currently consuming the world. There's much to contemplate for all of us, and precious little time to do so. Educate yourself, make your voice heard at this most critical time on planet Earth. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington with geoengineeringwatch.org.